Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. So thrilled today to have this incredible woman on our show, Kate Montana. She's so talented, it's very hard, and she's lived such an interesting life. It's very hard to boil her down into a small little radio biography. She's authored many, many books. One of which her newest one we're going to talk about tonight. I just found out she's a writing coach, so that's pretty amazing. And before she did all that, she has a master's degree in humanistic psychology and has actually spent a lot of time in broadcast journalism and print journalism. So she worked in TV land for a long time, and then as a reporter for written media. And wow, and now she writes these incredible books. So... welcome, Kate. Thanks for being on my show today.
Oh, I'm just so happy to be here. Thanks, Lisa.
So you're all the way over in Maui.
Where are you? Yes, I am.
I'm in Boston.
A
long way away.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I was called here last year. I visited a friend. I was in transition, and the second day on the island, I was sitting on the North Shore, and I literally, Lisa, felt the spirit of Maui pull me into her and just rock me. And she said, "You come home to Mama Maui and let me take care of you." So I did.
Wow.
I went back to the Pacific Northwest. I sold everything I own, shipped my car, packed 3 bags, and here I am.
That's amazing. I love Hawaii, too. And when I went to Hawaii, I went to Kauai and had sort of the same experience on the North Shore of Kauai, like Kanalei Bay. Like, I'm like, why do I live in New England? I still ask myself that pretty much every day.
Choices, Lisa.
I know. I know. So tell us about this incredible book. I mean, your book is really amazing, and I read it kind of fast, and now I have to slow down and read it again, which I don't usually have time to do or often inclination even to do, although so many people write amazing books. Yours had so many layers to it, so many stories. So it touched so many different parts of me that I feel like I need to read it again to, like, let it all settle in to, like... Like, where I was like, wow, what just happened there? Like, I have to, like, absorb it at a slower pace now and really feel it. And that's so cool and so rare. It must have been, first of all, an incredibly satisfying book to write. Wow.
Oh, I was obsessed. So the title of the book is Apollo and Me. I started writing it in Greece back in 2015. I was actually on a contract with a Simon & Schuster imprint to write another book, a nonfiction title called The E-Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. Essentially very heady left brain about enlightenment and ego psychology and evolution. So here I am, I'm in Greece. A friend had invited me to her beautiful home on the island of Paros for 3 months to finish writing the book. So I had always, God, Lisa, I've always had a thing about Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And the Apollo Temple at Delphi was the very first place I ever wanted to visit when I traveled out of the United States when I was 19. So a long time ago, I was at Delphi. It was just magical and wonderful. I loved it. So 40 years later, I'm back in Greece, and I wanted to go back to Delphi. So I did, and took a little side trip. And I did the tourist thing, in the temple complex one day. And the next day, I hiked up Mount Parnassus to get away from the crowds and the tourists. And, God, Lisa, I was just sitting there in the sunshine. It was April. And it was beautiful. And I'm looking down at the temple complex. And all of a sudden, I had a vision of this beautiful man bounding over the rocks towards me. And he sat down next to me and said, "Hi, I'm Apollo. I have things to tell humanity. Let's talk." And then he disappeared. Wow. Or the vision went away, or whatever happened stopped happening. And I was blown away is a minor way of expressing it. But from that moment, I couldn't get what happened out of my mind. I couldn't get him out of my mind. And then, of course, I wanted to know what Apollo had to say to humanity. And I literally walked back down the mountain, hiked back down, went to my hotel room. And kind of the way I commune is through my writing. And so I got my computer out and I just closed my eyes and I imagined his face and his eyes, which were a stunning copper color, and just tuned into his vibration. I'm like, well, what do you have to say? And I started writing Apollo and Me that afternoon. And I wrote like a crazy person for about 3 days, just like tuning in, like, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? And all this information just started flowing. And then, of course, I had to switch from right brain to left brain from this amazing story from a Greek god back to writing about psychology and enlightenment. Wow. So that was tough. But the moment two or three days after I finished grinding out, well, it wasn't a grind, but writing the E word, I was back writing Apollo because I was just obsessed. Hmm. And so touched and so surprised and so in wonderment about what that story and how it would unfold. So that's how I wrote Apollo and Me. I actually finished it when I was in South Africa on the overnight train from Johannesburg to Cape Town. It was all very Ian Fleming-ish and writing on a train at midnight.
That's so cool.
Being so carried away.
It's so amazing too that you've been all, you know, really all over the world and, you know, been kind of inspired by the different places that you've visited. And I don't know, like, that, you know, of course, I'm sure people ask you if this book is autobiographical because it's about a woman who's a writer who falls in love with or realizes she still has this eternal relationship with a divine being, with a god.
Yeah. Yeah. With Apollo.
Yeah.
You know, it is autobiographical, and it is and it isn't. It's like a lot of the story, I wish I could explain this. The story unfolded as a story, mm-hmm. and yet in my so the conversations that Catherine, the protagonist, has with Apollo, but the information that came out of Apollo's mouth was just so surprising to me and often shocking to me.
Right.
So I know that when I write, Lisa, even when I'm writing nonfiction and when I'm doing a book, I'm kind of a crazy person. I'll just start like at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I'll write till 10 o'clock at night with hardly a break. Wow. And you know, you can't get into that kind of a space without being in an alpha or even a theta space, because that's the zone.
Yeah.
And so often material and information would come out of left field that I was like, well, where the hell did that come from? Or take me down a path that I never would have anticipated, which is how I know that it's not all just me.
Right. Sounds like you're channeling it. I mean, there's something going on here that's outside you or coming through you. It feels so topical right now. So that's the other amazing thing, is the story and the healing of the divine feminine and kind of the apology in a way that Apollo has for the treatment of women. Yeah. It feels so incredibly timely.
Oh God, exactly, Lisa. I was so shocked. I had no idea until I started writing the book and Apollo and I started talking or doing whatever the heck we were doing. And then I did some research. I had no idea that he told me, but I had no idea that instead of all the other Greek gods, male gods, they had priests in their temple complexes. Apollo had women in his complexes. And the Pythia at Delphi was, of course, the spokesperson for the whole Western civilization for 1,300 years. The Pythia, she was always a married woman, and she was the mouthpiece of Apollo. And sayings and philosophy and coaching to humanity was all about equality. I mean, uplifting the role of even slaves back in those days. And he also was all about the equality of men and women. And Apollo basically wanted to hold the door open because the goddess religions back in 500 BC were rapidly diminishing. And the Abrahamic sky god, masculine left brain god of law and rule and morality had come in the door and taken over people's minds and hearts. And Apollo saw that movement, and he knew what it portended, that we would become extremely limited as far as our capacity for love and compassion for one another, communion with nature and natural forces. We would lose our ability to be inclusive and sensitive to one another, and that we would end up living in this left brain, very masculinized, very intellectual, very aggressive, very,
very polarized.
Very polarized material world. And that's what Apollo wanted to talk about, and why he approached me was to try to get this message in a different form, that we've got to understand what the feminine is and open back up to the goddess within all of us, men and women. And that we are so grotesquely polarized, you know, it's like everybody's on one side of a bloody boat and we're about to capsize because everybody's on the left brain side of the boat. Being aggressive and out there in the world trying to make it and be material and be somebody. And we've lost track of heart and community and loving and taking care of one another, which is what the feminine is all about. So, and interestingly enough, Apollo told me that part of why he had the women as the mouthpieces of at his temples was he was trying to hold an energetic gateway open for when Yeshua ben Joseph, better known as Jesus the Christ, and his message of sexual equality, which I didn't realize sexual equality was anything on Yeshua's agenda, and that he and Mary Magdalene had planned on traveling together for decades, showing the divinity within man and woman, and woman as equal. So much came out of the conversations with Apollo. It just blew my little mind.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah, it was, when I was reading it, I was really thinking about like what it must have been like for him, for Apollo, in a way, to see it's like the dawning of the Piscean age, which is would be the age of polarity, duality, splitting, schisms, you know, us against them, and like you said, the masculine left side, after having come out of this very long time of the matriarchy and all that. So it was such a compassionate, like I was so touched in a way by the relationship between. So there's that's the bigger stage, but there's also this play that's going on between Catherine and Apollo that's like about the healing power of love between two people.
Yep.
And that's like a smaller scale, but it was so touching. It was so beautiful. And I think probably, I mean, I guess you and I are probably about the same age and thereabouts. And I think that, you know, for me reading it, it was like, oh my God, I was like, oh my gosh, could that happen to me? Like, I think we all want this kind of, you know, this kind of deep, sacred love that's so healing that we're all learning for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's, you know, Lisa, that's one of the reasons it really was autobiographical, because the healing that is ongoing in me and my life, having written this book, is beyond profound. I was born a very empathic right brain, you know, let me just go sit under a tree and commune with the fairies little girl. And at age 12, 13, I finally decided that I needed to wake up and get with the program and actually study in school and do what I was supposed to do, which I wasn't interested in. And so I completely shut down my feminine side and lived out of my masculine very successfully. And yet I've known that you know, something enormous was missing in me. And writing Apollo and me and talking with Apollo opened me up to my own heart and my vulnerability and the awareness, a deep awareness of the feminine wound that is in me and in every woman. You know, epigenetically, science has shown that men and women are we're the sum total of our experiences. And when we have an emotional experience, you know, like having a baby or being raped, you know, we have the imprint of those emotions goes into our DNA, and we pass those emotions on to our offspring. And so what Apollo made me terrifyingly aware of was that I was living the sum total of over 3,000 years of genetic imprinting in my ancestral feminine line of abuse, a horrific gender abuse and marginalization, and being owned as chattel and raped and abused and incarcerated and genitally mutilated and marginalized and ignored and powerlessness. And I was like, and the depths of that, Lisa, you know, I've been on the spiritual path for almost 40 years, and I could have sworn if you'd asked me, gee, Kate, if you dealt with the feminine wound, I would have said, oh, yeah, Lisa, I dealt with that decades ago.
Yeah.
Not true. Yeah. Such is the substance of it and the truth and the visceral horror of it that's in us. And, you know, we wonder why we're a depressed society. We wonder why, you know, women are alcoholic and taking Prozac and everything else. And why we, you know, why we're so material and driven and unhappy is that there's this enormous place of not just vulnerability, but insecurity and shame that has come through the Abrahamic religions against women and against our sexuality and against our sensuality and against the very beauty of life itself that has become, you know, so we've kind of turned into a little robot, very unhappy robots. So this was just, oh my God, and that's just a corner of all the stuff that Apollo forced me to uncover. He didn't force me. He opened the door safely right. for me to uncover and explore all those things through writing his story.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a powerful way. Like, we can look at that wound, like our personal wound, our ancestral wound, like what happened to you and I as people, what happened to our ancestors, but also this archetypal thing, mm-hmm. you know, the thing, you know, and I was reading it, I was really feeling like there was like this archetypal healing going on in the story, that your experience and your courage to go at your own healing at such a deep level and in such a revealing way in a book, is working the archetypal healing for all women. I think as we do that personal healing, we do it for everybody, especially as writers.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's a whole lot. Don't we know, don't you know, being an empath and a psychic, that there's so much more going on than meets the eye living here. And so there was much more going on writing this book than me writing what turned out to be a spiritual romance novel, which I have to say, Lisa, I have almost overcome my reluctance and my shock and horror at admitting that I've essentially written a romance novel.
It's a really cool one, though. I really like, I don't really like romance novels, I have to tell you, because I've been, you know, a therapist and a healer and right. you know, my whole life. And like 15 pages into it, I'm like, would you guys just go to couples therapy or just have like one conversation and this, like, all this nonsense would be over. Like, I have no bandwidth for traditional romance, the dysfunction of traditional romance novels. They just irritate me beyond belief. So, but yours was just like, it was like, I think somehow like what we all want, like this deep yearning we have to be, you know, to be seen and loved so deeply by the divine masculine and, yeah. you know, and that we look for it in our relationships and our personal and our romantic and primary relationships. And I don't know. I mean, maybe there, for some people that happens. And I think it more often happens internally. So it's like, we love our inner male. And I wonder if there's a part of you where writing this, you had to embody your divine masculine. So you had to embody Apollo in a way. And that just struck me as probably such a cool experience and so powerful.
Absolutely. Because, you know, essentially that's the process of the spiritual journey of becoming a whole human being, is to actualize both the masculine and the feminine within us. Of course, every individual has an individual percentage of, you know, this is how, you know, I'm more masculine than feminine or more feminine than masculine, et cetera. We've got our own individual expressions. But, you know, that's one of the things, you are absolutely right. I had to dig, I say I had to dig deep, and that's not right. It just showed up. And attuning to Apollo's vibration, he was so clear and so fierce and so strong and so tender and so compassionate, so wise, so understanding, so sexual, so supportive. He became this rock that I could dissolve into. Mm-hmm. I could do anything, say anything, be anything, and know that he was there for me because he saw beyond the limitations of the physical. Right. He saw my heart. He saw my soul. He saw my love. He saw the feminine, which is this wildly, I'll use the word chaotic, in that chaos is beyond any sense of limitation or structure. And we've been led by the left brain masculinized society to think that the chaos and that intuition and the dark forces and unknowable and the unseeable and the mysterious, it's scary and we want to limit our exposure to it. But the feminine is this second wild, outrageous, unstoppable. It's the life force itself.
Right.
And so then, you know, so I could be pragmatic and totally irrational in a 10-minute span of time. And Apollo was just a rock and loving every bit of it, accepting me as a whole human being.
Right.
No expectations about how I had to be any particular way for him to love me.
That's amazing.
And isn't that what we all yearn for?
Yeah, totally. We all yearn for it. And, you know, I think our little human journeys in this polarized planet, we project that outside, and we really want a person to show up for us that way. And we're all just equally sort of flailing around trying to figure it out. So we don't get, like, you know, that kind of perfect divine love, I don't think, except in moments. I mean, we have moments of it with each other. But this, you know, this divine masculine coming down and sparking that divine feminine, it was so healing actually for me to read the book. That's why I want to read it again, you know, and really take it in and kind of like, it made me think about my own self, like, where's my divine masculine? And, you know, if we're going to really come into the time of unity, we have to heal both the divine masculine and feminine. We have to, like, heal the wounds that are between us. So I think your book did a fantastic job of doing that in such a fun, sexy way too. It was a sexy book.
In a fun, sexy way. I know, because, you know, we talk about the divine masculine, the divine feminine, and we can't help when we use these kind of words to think, you know, in higher echelon vibe. But the thing that I loved, and this was part of Apollo's message, passionate message, is that we've, divine love is earthy, it's sexual, it's passionate as well.
Yeah.
It isn't just airy fairy and all love and light and sweetness and compassion.
It doesn't all happen in a monastery, you know, or between angels in a monastery. It's like that gritty.
Thank you. Exactly. And that's one of the things that he wanted to get clear, is because that's one of the things we've lost track of when we switched from the goddess religions to the patriarchy, is being okay with our earthy, wild sensuality, and so that it's all God.
And it's all God. My God. So, Kate, how can people get in touch with you and find this fantastic book?
Oh, my God. We're almost through with this conversation already. Way too fast.
I know.
am. they can find Apollo and Me on Amazon, and they can order it in any bookstore. They can find me at www.katemontana.com, and that's Kate with a C, or on Facebook, The Real Kate Montana.
Thank you so much, Kate, for being with us today. It was such a pleasure to speak with you and to read your fantastic book. Thank you.
Thank you for everything you do, Lisa. Take care.
Oh, thanks, honey. So if you guys want to find me, you can find me at lisacampion.com. I hope you stop by and check out what I've got going on. And thank you so much for joining us today here on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio.